ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 9 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील एसी भक्तिवेदांता स्वामी प्रभुपाद founder Acharya of ISKCON.
Yatha dharma dayaschartha
Yatha dharma dayaschartha
Munivayanu kirtitaha
Munivayanu kirtitaha
Natata vasudevasya
Natata vasudevasya
Mahimahyanu vanitaha
Mahimahyanu
vanitaha. It's a very auspicious day here in Kazan, although most people in Kazan don't realize it, but the arrival of Srila Prabhupada here in his deity form is certainly auspicious for the people of Kazan. Srila Prabhupada was already present here in the form of his books, his movement, his devotees. Okay, here's an instruction from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's also present by his instructions, so I'll tell you one of his instructions. Prabhupada instructed that during the class, when the deity curtain is opened or closed, the devotees may simply offer their respects by joining their hands together so that the flow of listening to the class is not interrupted. Here, Narad is explaining to Vyasadeva why he has become despondent. It is the duty of the guru to point out the defect in the disciple. It is his duty to look and see what is his fault and instruct him to correct him. Many times we hear people saying that, I want to get the mercy of my guru. And they ask the guru, please be merciful to me. So, what is that mercy? The most foolish of the Mayavadis, they have invented some fairy stories that the guru touches the disciple and then a flow of electric current goes into his body. He feels surcharged with spiritual energy. The worst of the Mayavadis. This is the worst of the Mayavadis. It's like the stool of the Mayavadis, because even Shankaracharya, you don't want to insult him, he never said such a thing. So I'm explaining why I'm saying that. But the real process of gaining mercy from the spiritual master is to hear from him, follow his instructions. And particularly mercy comes in the form of instructions for improvement. And actually, people, they approach a spiritual movement or a spiritual master because they're feeling too much pressure from material life. It's too much. People are always harassing me. There's so much pressure to bring money and so many difficulties. So for this reason, they may go to a church or a mosque or a temple and just feel the peace of God. And in the Krishna conscious movement also, they may approach a spiritual master thinking that everyone in the material world is harassing me, but here is someone who is going to, by following him, I'll attain some peace. Someone I can take shelter from. And then you go to the spiritual master, and he also blasts you. You're thinking that he will only smile at you, but instead of smiling, he's always telling you, you nonsense, you rascal, you fool. That is the duty of the spiritual master, to find out the fault of the disciple and correct him for his improvement. So that is the mercy of the spiritual master for those who are ready to take it. Otherwise, you can find so many Mayavadi so-called gurus. You'll see if they are photographed, they're always holding a flower and smiling. They think the only business of a guru is to hold a flower, smile, and talk nonsense. But guru means heavy. Here, Narad Muni is immediately diagnosing that you did this wrong. Vyasadeva compiled all the Vedic literatures with the aim of benefiting human society. It was a tremendous achievement which he had put much effort over many years into. For this, he was well known and respected not only in human society but throughout the whole universe. Then Narad Muni came and the first thing he said to him is, you're just completely nonsense, misleading people, wasting your time, wasting everybody else's time. So it's good that Narad Muni said that because it brought Vyasadeva to do the work which he was really meant to be doing, which is presenting Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana for the benefit of human society. Now here, Narad Muni addresses Vyasadeva as Munivarya, O best of the Munis, best of great sage. So, of course, he is respecting, even though he is his disciple, he respects that actually he's a great personality, which of course is a fact. Narad Muni is not an ordinary spiritual master and Vyasadeva is not an ordinary disciple. Of course, the spiritual master is never ordinary, but Even among spiritual masters, Narad Muni is the leader. He is the most famous.
Конечно,
in the history of Vaishnavism, we see there are some great acharyas who, by their preaching, their teaching, by their spiritual power, stand out in the history. Acharyas such as Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarka Swami, Vishnu Swami, Vallabhacharya, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now, if we see the list of names given of our acharyas in Parampara, you see there are 32 names. Of course, Narad and Vyasadeva are near the top of that list. But of course, there were many other spiritual masters, bona fide spiritual masters, who are not mentioned in that list. Even some spiritual masters who are very powerful, their names are not given in that list. Recently, I was going through a book in Bengali, Rasik Mangal, which describes the pastimes of Rasikananda Dev, who was the most prominent disciple of Shyamananda Prabhu. Shyamananda Prabhu is a very famous Vaishnava who was a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya and Jiva Goswami. Means Hriday Chaitanya was his initiating spiritual master, but he sent him to Jiva Goswami for instruction. So practically he was a disciple of Jiva Goswami as much as he was a disciple of Hriday Chaitanya. Anyway, Rasikananda was a very powerful preacher. He made thousands and thousands of disciples. He converted even Muslim kings whose There's one Muslim king whose favorite sport was catching Vaishnavas and executing them. And even there are many Hindu kings who were ferociously against Vaishnavism, who he converted. There was even one terrible elephant who lived in the jungle and used to come out and attack people and kill them. So when Rasikananda was passing through the jungle, this elephant came and attacked. And everyone thought, now we're finished. Rasik just gave him a slap. He said, why are you wasting your time attacking people? Don't you know you're an eternal servant of Krishna? So he initiated him and called him Gopal Das. So he was useful. Sometimes he organized the elephants to do different services. And if there were any kings in the area who had too much disturbance, Gopal Das looked after them. Gave them a warning. So this is just to give an example. There are many great, powerful devotees who are not being given in that list of names. And of course there have been many other devotees who have been initiating gurus and instructing gurus, whose name is not in that list, who may not be very powerful or not particularly powerful or prominent devotees, but who are faithful followers of the Parampara. Just like in Bangladesh, I went to one village, and there were the whole village, the people were chanting Hare Krishna, having Mangal Aarti, Tulsi Aarti, all these things. Two young men were living there as brahmacharis. They had given up their valuable government jobs, which are considered very... They've given up their government jobs, which is considered very valuable thing to have in poor Bangladesh, to dedicate their lives to preaching Krishna consciousness. So how had they become so inspired? One man from their village, who had passed away already, had... he was initiated disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. So he was a householder and he stayed at his home and chanted Hare Krishna and followed all the principles. But in one family living in the same village, some of the children, they became interested and they used to go to visit him and he used to speak to them about Krishna. His name was Chakrapani Das Adhikari. So eventually when they got a little older and they were still very interested in Krishna consciousness, he initiated three sons and one daughter from that family. One of the sons was a householder and went on practicing Krishna consciousness at home. Two of them became brahmachari preachers, mostly preaching in that village area. And one young girl, means in Hindu society all the girls are married, so he married and chanting Hare Krishna. So this one devotee, by his influence, he influenced some other people who made tremendous preaching in the whole area for several kilometers around. When you say several kilometers around in Bangladesh, it doesn't mean like in Russia where there's no people. Several kilometers means quite a few thousand people. Bangladesh is mostly all villages, but it's a heavy, dense population. It's like 130 million people in an area like from here to not even halfway to Samara or something.
100
130 million people. So anyway, I'm just giving the point that only in that list of 32 names, only some of the acharyas have been given, because to list all of them is not possible. And particularly the names of acharyas have been included who have made a a major contribution to the Sampradaya, either in terms of preaching or philosophy. Philosophy means by writing. So how will the parampara continue? That Prabhupada told many times. Simply you repeat what you have heard without changing anything. So in the parampara after Srila Prabhupada, those of his disciples who are repeating the message without changing and who are personally following it themselves very strictly, they should teach others, they should be gurus. And those who have heard from those who have heard from Srila Prabhupada, they should also teach others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction is that everybody, all of his followers, should be a guru. Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar aggai guru hoyat taro idesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna. In this way, become a guru and deliver the land. We need hundreds and thousands of gurus. Means we need preachers, teachers. We need ideal devotees who others can look up to. Prabhupada wanted that the people of the world would adore our devotees for their ideal behavior. So we may not be, definitely are not, Narad Muni, Vyasadeva, Srila Prabhupada, but by taking the dust of their lotus feet on our heads, that means by following their instructions very strictly, then we can also continue the work of preaching Krishna consciousness by their mercy. Now we sometimes hear devotees say, well, I wish I could have got directly initiated by Prabhupada, which is an understandable sentiment. Just like we see some of the devotees, particularly Srinivas Acharya, he was always lamenting that I just got born just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I didn't see his pastimes. I didn't have darshan of his lotus feet. So naturally the devotees who are coming to the Krishna conscious movement now, they may be thinking in the same way about Prabhupada. That I just got born, or I just came to Krishna consciousness just after Prabhupada. If only I had just been born a little earlier in another place, I could have seen Prabhupada and directly heard from him. So that is an understandable feeling. But at the same time, we should understand that if we follow Srila Prabhupada by following the instructions he has given as they are disseminated by his faithful followers, we will get the same result. By following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada very strictly as they are received through the parampara system, you'll get the same result as if you had directly heard them from Prabhupada. The parampara, or the spiritual power of the parampara, did not leave this world when Prabhupada physically left this world. Because great acharyas, great spiritual personalities, they continue to live in this world by their instructions even after their physical departure. This is very clearly described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, just before his departure, he said the same thing. Bhaktivinoda dhara kokono ruddha hoibe na. The line of Bhaktivinoda Thakur will never be closed. Another interesting point we can deduce from this discussion is that Narad Muni is saying to Vyasadeva, why didn't you directly describe Krishna? You presented everything indirectly, and by indirectly explaining about Krishna, you gave some idea. But the real point of the Vedas is to very clearly speak about Krishna. Vedaischa sarvaham eva vedyaha. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of all the Vedas is to know me, Krishna. But by reading all these books that you have compiled so far, people, they can't clearly understand that the goal is to surrender to Krishna. So you'll find in the next verse, he very strongly condemns that literature which is not directly describing the glories of Krishna. Tadvayasam tirtham ushanti manasam. He said it's just like a pilgrimage place for crows. You know what this means? Yeah. That's like an indirect way of saying it's garbage. Because all the crows, where there's some bad smelling rotten things thrown out, some old rotten food stuff, then the crows will go there and have a party. So this Vyasadeva, he compiled all the Vedic literatures, and Narad Muni just said, it's all garbage. You didn't directly describe Krishna? So this makes me think of some of our devotees who are recommending that we should not directly present Krishna consciousness. This reminds me of, they say we should only very indirectly present it. Maybe we should present ourselves as a welfare organization, promoting vegetarianism, don't show ourselves as devotees, don't wear devotee clothes, don't wear tilak, don't have a shaved head or a shika. In this way, we'll very slowly and indirectly introduce Krishna consciousness. But the problem with this is the same problem as presenting all the Vedic literatures without the Srimad Bhagavatam. That you may have very good intentions to present Krishna to the people, and you may come down to their level, just like Vyasadeva recommended karmakanda, worship demigods, this, that, and the other. So you're coming down to the people's level, they like it, they accept you, but what is your actual message? They never come to understand. For so many years, Krishna consciousness could not be preached in Russia, although so many people were anxious to receive it. So now we have the opportunity to preach Krishna consciousness.
Just
so we should preach Krishna consciousness, not welfare work. We don't know how long this situation, Krishna has given some chance to preach Krishna consciousness. This country has a history of tyrannical governments, which control the people and don't let them do anything. We don't know how long it will be before some other nasty government comes in and says, no more Harinam Sankirtan, no more book distribution, no more Tilak. If you want to chant Hare Krishna, you can do it in the concentration camp in Siberia. But you don't know. Now we're laughing, but for so many years it was like this, and it may be again in future, we don't know. So now we have the chance to preach Krishna consciousness. And again, instead of going like this, we're going like this. Instead of going like this, we're going like this. The thing is, if we start to go like this, we may only get this far and we'll end up like this. And this Krishna conscious movement was spread by Srila Prabhupada all over the world with shaved head, dhotis, tilak, his books. Now, it is a fact that many people may feel a little strange when they see us dressed like this. But after some time, if we wear our devotional clothes, they'll get used to seeing it. And they'll get to know that these clothes, that means that the people who wear these, they don't take any meat, fish or eggs, they don't gamble, they don't have illicit sex, they don't have intoxication, they've dedicated their life to God. Prabhupada said, first people will laugh at us, then they will torture us, and finally they will respect us. So this is the austerity of preaching Krishna consciousness. Now, if we present, here is Krishna, we don't expect everyone will like us. If we present, here we are, we're a welfare organization, and this and that, and just somewhere at the back is Krishna, then people will take it on that level, and Krishna, our real message, will stay in the back forever. So our principles are clear, and they are against most of the principles of the materialistic civilization. Practically, we are introducing a new culture. It is a revolution. It is a challenge to the materialistic civilization. Yes, we want to close the slaughterhouses, close the bars, close the breweries. Bars? Bars means place where people go to drink. Close the bars.
And close the
breweries. That's where they brew, where they make beer. All this nonsense things on television and nonsense literatures. We want to teach the whole world to dress in dhotis with shaved head and tilak, and for the ladies, saris, and dance and chant Hare Krishna. So how are we going to teach if we don't do it ourselves? If we don't speak against all these things, how are people ever going to know the message? Don't expect that everyone's going to accept this message. Don't expect that everyone will accept this message. But don't also expect that by diluting it, our message will come across. It will not. By hiding our message, it won't. By hiding our identity, we won't spread anything. We should have faith that Krishna is the most powerful. He wants this movement spread. By His power, by His good wishes, this Krishna consciousness will be implanted in the hearts of the conditioned. By His power, this movement will spread. Now, of course, there, according to time, place, and circumstance, we may sometimes dress in karmic clothes. We may present our message in different ways. Just like Prabhupada himself instructed his scientist disciples to preach the message of Srimad Bhagavatam in scientific language. I myself kept long hair with no shikha for several years when I was preaching in Bangladesh, which is a Muslim country.
So no shikha?
I had no shikha. Bangladesh, if anyone sees even neck beads, they say Hindu. So Muslims, they have some feeling against the Hindus. So there are times, places, and circumstances for making adjustments. That is accepted. But under normal time, place, and circumstances, and under most conditions, we should simply present ourselves as devotees and our message as it is. And have faith that this message is attractive to people. This is the nectar for which everyone is hankering after. They may initially reject it. We expect that. People are conditioned to reject anything which they have not been brought up with. But whatever culture they have been brought up in, this Krishna consciousness is the actual culture of the soul. So this will appeal to them. Just they have to get used to it a little bit. They have to become accustomed to it. So this is the austerity of the first generation preachers in any country, that people will misunderstand us and maybe call us bad names and so many. But by going on preaching in these difficult circumstances, you become glorious. Why are we so much grateful to Srila Prabhupada? Why not to his other godbrothers? His other godbrothers were also chanting Hare Krishna. They also knew the Shastra. But why are we worshipping Prabhupada? Because it was he who took the trouble, it was he who took the difficulty to bring Krishna consciousness to us. And for that, the world is indebted to him forever. So he took so much trouble in his old age to bring Krishna consciousness to us. So the least we can do to please him is to take a little trouble to continue spreading the message as he wanted. Don't try to avoid spreading Krishna consciousness. There's no doubt it's difficult to go out and distribute books. There's no doubt it requires courage to go dressed in a dhoti or a sari in public.
Courage means conviction.
Bravery. It's like bravery. That is the austerity of a preacher. And you'll actually find it's not nearly as bad as you imagine. Many, many people that they're happy to see us dressed as devotees. Or they're curious. They ask, what is this all about? Why are you dressed like this? They'll ask you, then you can tell them. That's preaching. They may be surprised to see the way you are dressed, but when you tell them the principles we stand for, they'll be even more surprised. But they'll be impressed also. Even people who are against us, they're impressed by our principles. Because they know it's no ordinary thing to follow this. To follow these four regulated principles, to rise early, even to dress like this and walk around, that shows we have some conviction. We have the courage to say that, to publicly declare by our dress that we are different. We are not, yes, we are dressed differently because we are different. Our goal of life is different. So let us bear this in mind. We're reading this at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. That Vyasadeva was severely chastised by Narada for not presenting Krishna consciousness directly. Let us not make the same mistake. Any question? Okay, I'll take one or maximum two questions.
So she's asking, maybe we can discuss among ourselves two or three devotees and to try to go out and to distribute books and to do preaching, and after some time people will appreciate more about that.
Thank you very much. By preaching, the situation becomes better. The more Krishna consciousness is preached, the better the situation becomes. Once a devotee complained to Prabhupada that the situation here is not very favorable. He was preaching in one place. So Prabhupada replied that it's the preacher's duty to make the place favorable. And we practically see that all over the world, the more the preaching of Krishna consciousness goes on, the more and more it becomes accepted and the more people become interested in it. Even in grossly materialistic countries like Sweden and Germany, due to the continued preaching of Krishna consciousness, especially book distribution over many, many, many years, now there are many people who are interested in Krishna consciousness. My personal experience also in India, when I first went there, preaching was very difficult. There had been much bad publicity made against our movement by the communist press, printing all kinds of terrible lies about our movement. People thought that these Western people, they can't become Hindus. They can't be Brahmins. Sometimes people would say, why are you wearing this dress? Take it off. Put on your pants, shirt. You can't wear this dress. It's only for Hindus. The only Westerners they'd seen were hippies smoking drugs. So they thought, there's also some kind of hippies. They thought they're chanting Hare Krishna as a fashion. They won't do it for very long. And when we try to speak anything to them, they simply say, I'm a Hindu from birth. I know everything. You're only a converted Hindu. You can't know anything, you should listen to me, I'm not listening to you. And impersonalism was so widely spread. Prabhupada said, you scratch anywhere in India and you'll find impersonalism. Now everything has changed, our movement is accepted. We can speak against this impersonalism and many people are ready to accept it, which they weren't 20 years ago. Our movement is highly appreciated, especially among the intellectual class. Many people from Brahmin families, even from traditional Vaishnav Sampradayas, they're taking initiation in ISKCON. I was talking yesterday about that neurosurgeon. Actually, he's an Indian man who's a surgeon in England. Yes, I was talking in the meeting about. I was meeting with one neurosurgeon, an Indian man who works in England, and he said that now we Hindus we have to learn our own culture and religion from the Western devotees of ISKCON. But actually the situation here in Russia for preaching is very good. It's not surprising if people are surprised, because this is something new to them. And many people are low class and gross. So if they don't accept it, or if they say some bad things, that's also to be expected. Just like yesterday we had that meeting, there were about, 30 intellectual people present. So they didn't know practically anything about our movement. But they were immediately very respectful and willing to listen to what we had to say. So there will be people who are against our movement, who are skeptical of our movement, and we should be intelligent enough how to deal with them. That doesn't necessarily mean hiding our identity from them. But in general, from what I can see, I mean, I travel in different parts of the world, the preaching situation here is very favorable. And it can only become more favorable if we go on preaching. And if we're actually preaching strongly, we can expect that from time to time, there will be some protest by the demons. Don't be afraid of that. Stick to your principles, just like Prahlad Maharaj did. Krishna will protect us. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
That's why I'll show
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.